I think I'm getting Dead Space for Valentine's Day, just as a side note.
It's totally normal.
I'm hoping she doesn't strategically dismember you. I don't think the Kama Sutra recommends that.
That's a bit disappointing.
Hey there, welcome to The Horrible Show, the video game podcast for HorribleNight.com, and I'm your host, Justin, gamertag JDevil. It's the episode for January 26th, 2011. Joining me this evening, we got our new group of fellas with Cole.
What up?
Ethan.
Hey!
And Justin Gifford.
What's going on?
Tonight, we're going to be tackling our What the Fuck Is This topic, focused on the weird video games that we play. We've talked about games of shame and addiction lately, but let's talk about those ones that we're not really sure why we're playing them. So we've each selected a few different titles and got a few questions about the genre. But first, as usual, we'll start off with our threesomes of the week, where everybody's picked three things that have had their attention in media in the last week. And then our warm-up question with the on-the-spot question of the week, our What the Fuck Is This? Weird Games discussion, HorribleNight.com updates, and then get out of here with game industry shoutouts. So without waiting any longer to know what the hell Cole has been up to since he's been back home for a week, your threesomes, Cole.
You forgot to mention our locations.
I don't need to anymore. It depresses me.
Okay. Just because we're all in the same location?
Yeah, we are. We are a global website. All housed in the same state.
Yeah. Okay. I'll start off with my video of the week, which was which has been the George Carlin stand-up specials that are on the Netflix Instant Watch. There's like 10 or so of them on there, so I can't really tell you exactly which ones I've watched. I've watched a couple. That man was hilarious. And
do you like the one where he curses?
Yes.
The 7 words you can't say. It. Yeah, there's a Supreme Court case over that one.
Yeah, I haven't watched that. I haven't watched that one. I don't know if that one's on there, but his most recent ones are definitely. And then I watched one from the early 90s. So
there was actually a Supreme Court case about it.
Yeah, deciding whether or not you could put adult programming on radio. During the day, like when kids could get to it. That's why you can put, like, you know, after 10 o'clock on Comedy Central.
You can say shit.
Yeah.
162 times, if you like.
7 words you can't say on TV was what the bit's called.
Cool. What else you got, Cole?
I've been catching up on podcasts. I subscribe to probably close to 10 of them. And in the move and the drive, my wife doesn't really like the ones I listen to, so we had to kind of come up with some that we both like, and I got way behind on all the ones I listen to, so I've been trying to catch up, get back to current. I'm still in December on most of them, so that's what I've been listening to.
I want to give any in particular a few shout-outs.
Well, the Giant Bombcast, of course. And then like Whiskey Media's sister, their sister site Tested, which I've really starting to like a lot now. So those are the main ones I've been listening to. And then some of the Smodcast stuff. So, and then the game, I finally put in Alan Wake after I got it Christmas Eve. First time I played it was, when did I see you last, Justin? Saturday?
Yeah.
I think I played it Saturday, and I only played the first episode. It's pretty cool, I can't wait to see more of it, but after I played the first episode, I decided that I needed to finish Mass Effect 2 before I started anything else, so I went back to Mass Effect 2.
Good plan. Don't interrupt the Mass Effect 2. Don't ruin it like we do other series by getting distracted. Did you make it through the entire first episode of Alan
Wake? Yeah, I played, played the whole first episode.
What'd you think of that, like, that kind of bookend structure to it?
I thought it was pretty cool. I really like the recap at the start of the second episode. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just liking what everybody else likes. Like, the Night Falls TV episode was pretty cool. But I kind of liked it. It gave me a nice stopping point after I played the first episode instead of just, you know, regular checkpoints like in other games.
Yeah, it works well for that game. I don't know if other games could pull that off, but was one of my favorite little touches to that game. Ethan, your threesomes.
My threesomes. Well, I watched State of Grace, which was a movie made in the 1990s involving Sean Penn, Ed Harris, Robin Wright, before she became Robin Wright Penn. And it's a movie about crime and being an undercover cop and mafia. Yeah, it's basically like every other movie that's based in that kind of crime genre. So not much to report on that. Had one of the shittiest gun endings I've ever seen in my life. A lot of slow motion killing and ketchup blood. And it was kind of embarrassing, actually. It was completely unexpected. So wouldn't call it a shitty movie, though. Just wasn't a movie that I enjoyed, but my wife did like it. So,
why'd you guys watch it?
When did we?
Like, why? I mean, anytime we like go back to a random like mediocre movie from however long ago, I'm curious what leads you to it.
It was on Netflix and it had Grace in the title and I don't know. it was random. It really is random. We really do pick random movies. So I like Sean Penn. I like Ed Harris, who, you know, we're both in that movie.
But
so,
fuck Robin Wright Penn. Damn it.
Well, you know, she's not my favorite, but I wouldn't. Well,
that's blasphemy.
Yeah, she's Princess Buttercup.
That's right.
She is
Princess
Buttercup. And Jenny.
G'day.
Jenny's a whore.
It's true. A diseased whore.
She's a horrible person.
A diseased whore.
She got what was coming to her. Whoa.
Wow.
It's true. She did die.
Moving along. I am really, really a little bit disturbed with myself, but I'm usually the good guy. And I actually wrote about this in one of my articles I wrote a couple weeks ago. But for some reason, there's certain games with a bad guy element that really start to attract my attention. And Dungeons happens to be one of those. It's going to be coming out in the next couple weeks. I have actually contacted Calypso, developers of that game, and am kind of, I don't know, asking if perhaps maybe they would like an esteemed website to review their game early. And then so I've put our name out there. but
are you writing for somebody else?
Yeah, on the side. I happen to be.
It's Kotaku, isn't it?
It is Kotaku. Kotaku. I just got the giggles there. but I think this is going to be a cool game. Definitely, I like the mechanic that involves torturing people as your resources. So that's kind of cool and, again, disturbing. Anyone that liked the Dungeon Master games back in the day, I think this is along those lines, you know.
PC only?
PC only, as far as I know at this point. So you council guys can wait patiently for perhaps the game to come out later. I was going to say you can lick my nuts, but I don't feel like I represent.
That's more of what I expected. You can come over so I can torture you.
Yeah. Need some resource points. But I'm looking forward to that game coming out here soon. If I don't get Dead Space sometime soon, I'll definitely be on that game. So that's cool. Last thing that I really enjoy watching is Special Ops Mission featuring a man named Will Willis. Now, if that doesn't strike fear in the hearts of terrorists, I don't know what will. Hey, Will, see how it all came around. Anyway, the television series is about this guy kind of working through special operations missions, and they take like a bunch of Navy SEALs and Army Rangers, and they create teams to like battle this guy. And there's all kinds of cool scenarios, and he tends to win every single one of them. Now, obviously, it's not scripted, but it's you know, kind of a rehearsal, so no one's really getting shot and killed. But it's really interesting to see just how much those guys are trained and how just capable of doing most anything they are. He happened to be a former Army Ranger and Air Force pararescue man. So he's a hard ass, and it's cool to see that side of things. The show's on the military channel, so anyone that's into that kind of stuff, most definitely check that out.
I didn't know there was a military channel.
Oh, yes, there is. And
yeah, Arlie Ermey was on there for a while.
Oh, was he?
Mail Call was on there for a while.
On Mail Call. I thought you meant on Special Ops Mission. I was like, gosh, that just made that show even better.
What's his name?
Arlie Ermey.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said
a Geico commercial now.
It's owned by the military channels, owned by Discovery. I mean, like Science Channel and all that crap.
I thought you said Artie, and I was thinking of Pete and Pete.
The strongest man in the world.
Exactly. Right. Gift tour. Your threesomes.
All right. Movie for the week is Fast and Furious, or Fast and Furious 4. I don't have a lot of excuse for that other than I like cars.
Okay.
And as I'm going on vacation Thursday and Friday, work is insane. Cause last time I tried that, people were emailing me and calling me while I was on vacation. So it required a special email saying I am going to Vegas for a bachelor party. I will not be available. So anyway, yeah, when I got home yesterday, I was just like, Jesus Christ, I can't think. And Fast and Furious just really fit the bill. let's see. Saturday, I heard some of Lucinda Williams' album West, which is just kind of badass. Texas, sort of halfway between Texas and
Oklahoma.
Chicago blues. So I downloaded it and it is fantastic. It rocks. Although it's blues.
I was gonna say if I hate country, will I still like it?
Oh yeah, it's blues. Like Texas blues is like ZZ Top, Chicago blues, George Thorogood maybe.
All right,
those are white guys playing the blues, but whatever. They just came to mind first. And then because I'd spent so much time playing Assassin's Creed, I picked something, you know, a little light to get into that wasn't going to eat up a lot of my time. So I picked up Red Dead Redemption.
Good call.
And I have spent more time shooting helpless animals, yes. Which I don't do in real life, than maybe playing the storyline.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it's a good time riding a deer down your horse.
That's all I did for the first like 15 hours I played that game was just okay. What else can I kill with my knife? Like, just trying to find different ways to kill cougars with knives was fun for me.
When there's a challenge involves kill 5 wolves with your knife, I mean,
that just inspired me after that point.
You guys want to go hunting this weekend?
No,
I was just gonna go to the bars and look for some cougars.
You want to bring knives?
Sure.
I think you should bring staffs.
Well done.
Don't forget to tip your waitresses.
Just the tip, though.
Jesus. I'm glad I paused to hear the rest of that. my threesomes, more ghosts. I don't mind talking about more ghosts, but... we finally ran to the end of Ghost Adventures, so we're on the lookout for more ghost shows and finally checked out Paranormal State, just to kind of see why that was Ethan's recommendation. And after the horrible night out, after the Tron screening, we all kind of went out to bars out on Mass Ave, and Ethan and I had a pretty good discussion about like his views on ghosts, and I didn't fully grasp why he hates the Ghost Adventure guys. I just thought it was because, you know, they kind of have this just dumb frat boy type of attitude about them. And I thought maybe you thought the taunting that they do was funny, but you take ghosts a little bit more seriously than I expected, and And I understand and respect that more, because at first I thought we were both joking, but then I realized you were serious. So anyway, checked out Paranormal State, which is a completely different tone, because this guy, at least, you know, at least on the show, how the show's produced, I don't know how truthful any of this stuff is, but he's actually trying to help people, and that's more of his goal than, you know, trying to get attention for it. So it's got a half hour format, so the hour format, but completely different tone than Ghost Adventures, but still, and also like going into like kind of individual haunting situations, like with people living in their houses versus like the major, you know, kind of destination haunted places like penitentiaries and that kind of thing, at least in the first season. So very cool, but very different than Ghost Adventures, but it's going to tide us over until I have to give in and watch Ghost Hunters, which I'm trying to avoid doing. So music wise, haven't really been picking up a lot of new music lately, but I found my way back to Metallica's latest album, Death Magnetic, lately. I don't know why, but I just every now and then like to point out the fact that that is a fucking good album. I don't care if you've written off Metallica in the past 10, 20 years. It's a good fucking album. And I also realized that this year is their 30th anniversary of being a band, which is just frightening. But recommend Death Magnetic for anybody that likes hard rock metal. So, games-wise, kind of had a resurgence of Super Meat Boy. It was actually after we recorded the podcast last week, I was trying to kill some time while I was editing the podcast, and I was looking for a game that I could just play for a little bit. So, you know, Super Meat Boy, it's very stage driven and very, you know, easy to pick up and put down. Not so much. After trying to just play a couple levels, I spent hours playing those couple levels. So I'm about three quarters of the way through that incredibly frustrating, difficult game that is still the most fun I've had platforming since, man, I'm trying to think, since 2D Mario games. So,
have you been getting all the Band-Aids?
No, that's fucking torture. There's no reason to. I was actually getting, originally started out trying to get every Band-Aid and do the Dark World version of every level that I've played, but That was I'm not that masochistic. So but I pretty much sucked while I was playing the game during the week, but I demoed the game for a few friends this weekend and had one of those just gaming zen moments, and I just had to keep playing the game because I was on a roll and was playing out of my mind, which was kind of funny. It has so many like old school mentality, so much old school mentality to it. It's nice to see when it can also draw in those kind of zen gaming moments that usually only come from, you know, shooters or that type of thing. So if you haven't played that game yet, I don't know what the hell you're waiting for. So Super Meat Boy. Moving on to our on the spot question. If you'd like to submit an on the spot question to us, you can hit us up on Twitter at The Horrible Show, or via our contact form on the site. This week, before we dive into the weird games, we wanted to test our limits a little bit, and I want to know what makes you stop playing a game, starting with Ethan.
Time trials, definitely. If I'm hacking some shit, don't time me. It's not your responsibility to tell me how quickly I can do it, then give me points or mission objectives based upon that. I hate time trials.
Don't time me. Don't tell me what to do. How to play my game.
Don't you know who I am?
Wizard motherfucking train.
Right. It is the train.
Do you ever say that in your house?
What?
I'm the wizard motherfucking train.
I would if my you know, income was more so than my wife's, but it's not, so I just shut up.
You can say that to your cats at least.
Gifford.
Play mechanics. If I start screaming at the screen, because I feel like possibly the game may have it out for me by fucking me over by like having to redo a jump 30 times or whatever, and it's not a result of me doing it wrong, it's just there's a lag in mechanics, or I don't think I have the technical vocabulary to explain it, but if the, you know, the response from the controller is such that you have to hit it in just the right way, and it's not like a fighting game. Like, I'm okay with it on Mortal Kombat. That's fine. I understand if you fuck up quarter turn towards A, but screwed.
But if there's no, like, real reward for your precision?
Yeah, or if the precision has to be at such a high level that it's almost impossible to do, then, yeah, I'm done.
I just wanted to share a text message I just got from our buddy Koopopolopoulos. The Res Vibrator article is ready to go. Cole, what makes you stop playing a game?
I scream at the TV for different reasons, because I'm a big pussy and I get scared easily when I'm playing a scary game. And if the scares are lame and repetitive, then I get tired of it and want to put it down.
So wait, you do or don't like to be scared?
Well, I don't, but I do at the same time.
Okay. You don't like to be insulted, though, like that.
Don't like to be insulted with the scares. I want them to be clever and original, but if it's just jump scare after jump scare, then I'm done.
Ugh. Hey!
Ah!
Did I get you?
You got me.
That was my tactic.
Any game came to mind when you were thinking about that?
Doom 3.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. The only game to knock me out of my chair, but I still hated it.
Yeah.
Fucking closet monsters all over the place. Oh, man, every time, no matter how much I love a game, the thing that makes me grit my teeth the most is when I sense an escort quest coming. Just because there's no great way to handle them. And I think the best example of the closest escort quests have come is on Enslaved. They make it much less of a chore, they do a good job at like sending your companion away to allow you to focus on certain instances. But man, even though I enjoyed that game immensely, around every turn I was nervous that I was going to run into some sort of escort situation that would just make me put the game down. And luckily it didn't really happen with that game, but it's a tired mechanic that no one can really do well, and I wish they would find ways around it and just avoid it altogether, because Resident Evil 4, it's probably why I stopped playing that game midway through, was having to pick up that stupid chick just to get through certain sections, or have to worry about her dying when I'm trying to survive. Like,
yeah, I stopped playing GTA 4 for that exact reason.
Oh God, I didn't even make it that far. I'm glad I stopped.
Do you have a worst offender? Is it GTA or is it Resident Evil 4?
That's the one that stands out in recent memory. I'm trying to think before that of some other.
You know, Dead Rising, the first one. Was
yes.
Horrible.
Oh.
That. Yes. Yeah. That is why I did not make it through that game. Like,
yeah.
It was the combination of the escort missions and being timed the entire time that just,
yeah,
just stressed me out. And I was like, I just want to fucking kill zombies. Don't tell me what to do, motherfucking J-Devil.
J-motherfucking-devil.
Sorry, I messed that up.
Hey, I might have to go with Justin's right this week on the on-spot.
He is right.
Yeah, he is.
No, I'm not. Ever. Woo! Okay. Awkward intro, too.
That was a weird intro, Justin.
Jesus. That's the worst fake laugh I've heard in a long time.
That was not fake. That was that was really good.
That was...
Oh, shit.
What the fuck? Weird games. Games stand out for multiple reasons. I've keep repeating myself here, but I love to find games to show off to different people. And in that search, we run across games that are, you know, sometimes shameful, which we've talked about before, but sometimes just so weird you can't look away. And I think the weird genre is very important to the development of the industry, just because it kind of shows certain developers are trying out different things, and other developers just might be on drugs. So, but good things come out of weirdness is kind of my theory, and I'm just kind of curious what types of games you guys thought were weird. So we'll start with our first game here with Ethan.
You know, I just want to make a prediction that I'm going to say 75% of all the games that we name are going to be straight from Japan. I'm just going to throw that out there for everybody.
What were you saying before the show, Cole?
I said so weird games are either on the Wii or from Japan.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and I don't know if this game is on the Wii, but I played it on the Xbox 360. No weird game discussion would be complete without Beautiful Katamari. For a variety of reasons, one of which is the flamboyant character that guides you throughout your journey as a small planet-forming elf?
Prince.
I don't know. was it a... Yeah, it is a prince.
Yeah, he's a prince.
You? Of the universe.
With daddy issues.
With extreme daddy issues, who kind of has no regard for the well-being of people at all or objects. So... you know, for those of you that haven't played the game, your task is to roll everything in front of you up into a ball in order to create planets. You know, it works out that, you know, the more objects you roll up, the you have a better capability of rolling up bigger objects. You just roll and roll and roll until by the end of it, you've rolled the whole universe up. And, you know, it's weird because it's just to hear the startled, you know, expressions from the creatures that you roll up and the people that are just hanging out until they just get smashed with a ball and formed into a planet. I mean, it's just it's a really uncomfortable type, like they should be a little bit more upset about this. Where's all the blood? why am I even doing this to begin with?
So it wouldn't be weird if it had blood.
It would make more sense. It'd be more logical. you know, the thing about it is it has that addicting gameplay. I think that any time you take a game that you can make a small object bigger, now whether that's a metaphor for, you know, gaining a level in an RPG or literally taking a small object and making it bigger by running over things, that's where you get people hooked on it, you know, and getting that planet bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't know, that just kept me going with it, you know.
I that game has such a great build up for it takes forever before you can actually start rolling up the people, but the first time you capture somebody and they scream and then their limbs are like flailing everywhere on the ball. I think that's my other favorite part about the game is like everything's still alive that you're still rolling it up and they're all moving around.
Oh, and they're trying to get off. I mean, they're struggling. They're like, I've got a family. I've got a job. What are you doing to me? And you just keep rolling. You've got your eye on the prize, and that's just to fuck people up. And you do, and it's great, you know. But it's kind of cute and kind of whimsical at the same time. So it's weird. It's just a weird all-around game.
And I got to add in that I don't know about Beautiful Katamari, but Katamari Damacy, whatever the first one, was originally conceived by a Japanese artist who had no interest in designing games. So we can wrap that into.
I think he's yet to design a game, considering how Nobi Nobi Boy turned out. But they're all fun in their own weird way. But Katamari is definitely much more of a true game. So how would you, Ethan, how would you recommend this game to somebody? Like how, like it has a very distinct, weird quality to it that it, I think is going to push people away when they first see it. But why did you play it? Why did you see
it? I'll be honest. I rented this game right after I had a thyroidectomy and I was hopped up on codeine. and it seemed like the only game that made sense at the time. if I was tasked with selling this to somebody, it's kind of a puzzle game in a way.
Yeah.
You also destroy things in a way. I don't know. This is why I'm not a marketing guy. I don't know how I would get someone to play this.
You just distribute drugs with the game.
Exactly. Okay. Are you on codeine? Yeah. Well, I've got a game for you, my friend. I guess I did rent Dead Space that same weekend too, so I was all fucked up.
Gifford, we'll go to your first game.
Okay, my first game is Boom Boom Rocket. which was one of the first things I downloaded for Xbox 360. I don't have a good answer for why. I don't do drugs. And I never really got into Dance Dance Revolution. But the game involves music and these fireworks that are sent up, and you have to time your button presses to get them to go off, you know, in syncopation with the music. And there's nothing inherently bizarre about it other than somebody made a game out of this. Yeah. Like, there's no skill other than, like, having a sense of rhythm.
Other than the realization, I've been playing this game for an hour.
Yeah, or three.
So, I think this was one of the first... It was in the first batch of XBLA titles, or at least, like, those first couple years when the platform was still kind of defining itself. And I guess I remember it standing out at that point, but I didn't pick it up because I played the demo, and I was like, oh, look, it's DDR with rockets. But that was enough for me.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I think that's why I initially downloaded it, was it got some good reviews, and it was in that – you're right, it was in that first crop. I think Xbox has been out for about 6 or 8 months when I bought mine. So yeah. That was when XBLA had
just
started.
It's definitely playable and fun, but it's just – there is something odd about it of why did they make this game, or what – like, some of these weird games, it seems like there's a deeper purpose or message behind it. I'm sure something about rolling up the universe in Katamari makes sense to somebody in Japan, but I don't understand the full motivation behind Boom Boom Rocket.
And as a final comment, I think the other thing that strikes me as weird is hearing the music on there. Almost all of it is based off classical music. But it's like somebody turned the Trans-Siberian Orchestra loose on all of these pieces, and it's kind of cool because I'm not a huge classical music guy. I'm definitely a rock guy. But it's also sort of like hearing a electric guitar with a bunch of reverb doing Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies is just a little bizarre.
Nice. Anybody else try that game out?
Yeah, I downloaded it pretty early when I first owned the Xbox 2, and the first time I owned it.
Okay, I was going to say recently.
No, the first time. Yeah, I kind of had the same experience that you guys did. Okay. I was just like, what? Sorry. What is this? Why is this a game? But I did play it for probably an hour.
Exactly.
Then I never touched it again after that.
Oh, those first Xbox Live games. That's...
And just as a side note, check out the Trans-Siberian Orchestra as a Christmas special if you really want to be feeling good. You know what I mean? It's pretty much seems to be right along the same type of music as Boom Boom Rocket. Side note.
Are you on codeine again?
Yeah, I wish.
Cole, your first weird game.
You're gonna game you should not play on codeine, or Ethan should. It's Trash Panic. We've talked about it briefly in our Games of Shame, I think we mentioned it. And imagine a world where you have a trash can and you put trash in it, and then you have Trash Panic.
So
it's a simulator throwing away trash game. No, actually, it's a imagine Japanese Tetris but with trash. That's like
better
the way I could sell it. If I was a marketing person.
And you remember how Tetris is fun.
Yeah, I remember how Tetris is fun to a certain point. And then imagine you're filling this trash can up with trash, and things do get destroyed as you're dropping things in, like baseball bats or brooms or bookcases or battleships or skyscrapers.
It's a big trash can.
Yeah. So there's like this mechanic where you can drop a ball into... the trash can that, if once you hit water, it destroys all the trash around it, and you get water from things like barrels and toilets and
other things you throw away.
Yeah, other things you throw in an office trash can. If that doesn't sound amazing, then there's these little black monster guys who are judging you for your work. So when you beat a level, they judge you for your carbon footprint of your trash throwing away. Like if you have, there's lighters and tissue paper that you can light on fire that will also destroy the trash around you. So if you give off too much pollution, then you know you're not green enough for them. So it's not only damn near impossible to play, you also get judged for your pollution.
But there's something addictive about it though too.
No, it is. I mean, it's not easy. Like I think I got to the fourth level.
Did you? And, I like the three. Yeah.
And it took me forever, and I would not give up. Like I just kept trying over and over again. And the way you lose is, it's kind of like Tetris. When you get to the top, it's basically over. But you have to have three pieces of trash fall out of the trash can. So
bounce out of the trash
can. Or bounce out, yeah. Like if you have a ball or something, can bounce out. So the skill level needed is pretty high, like on the higher levels of Tetris. But like you can lose the first level pretty easy, and you'd be like, "What the hell did I do wrong?" And then you come back and get it right away. So
yeah, it definitely has that side where you think you've only done a couple things wrong, so you want to retry it, but you always end up fucking up. And
yeah,
the game's just brutal. And I think it's a PlayStation Network exclusive right now.
Yeah.
And also, I remember the soundtrack being really weird, and you know those little black android robot dudes are kind of creeping me out. And very, very Japanese. Horrible menus. I think
the menu is ridiculous.
Takes forever to load. But damn, yeah. When you're in there in the middle of a level and you think you're in control, it's pretty fun. yeah, it's masochistic Tetris for sure.
See, I have issue enough loading my own trash can up. I don't know if I want to struggle on a video game.
I just don't use trash cans.
Yeah, but you probably don't throw away the things that they throw away in this game.
Yes, I do.
Do you throw away skyscrapers?
I did. I didn't need it anymore. What am I going to do with it? Just leave it?
What about a battleship? Do you throw away a battleship?
I don't have a battleship. If I had one and I didn't need it, I mean, I'm not going to be like that show on A&E where they keep everything. I got to throw some shit away.
First things to go, battleship, skyscraper, toilet. Yep.
Yeah, you guys are not selling me on this game. It sounds a lot like work, since part of what we do is waste energy. That sounds like work.
that environmental message side of it, it's just the extra slap in the face at the end of it. I was like, I already suck at this game. And
yeah, like gives you a letter.
Beat a level, you said I just polluted the earth. So yeah, we really recommend this game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh boy, my first selection is I've got two here, but those the psychedelic shooters that have been coming out on a lot of the downloadable services lately. The best of which is kind of a classic, Rez, and more recently in the last couple of years, Space Giraffe came out, and that game kind of missed the mark. Like Rez. Both games are incredibly, incredibly weird, just from the kind of techno-tron psychedelic style that they have. But Rez actually seems to have, you know, defined goals and progression that's easy to track, and has a lot more shooter qualities to it that make it fun and feel like you're actually progressing. And Space Giraffe, on the other hand, is just kind of one of those games that's weird for weird's sake, and it doesn't have much game to it. I mean, it's underneath there, and like the developer defends this game all the time, but it was one of those games I really tried to force myself to like, but after a couple hours with it, it just wasn't it wasn't fun, and it was just, I don't know, it was just he was trying to be cool, and the game wasn't cool. It was just bizarre. And you know, it's kind of one of those things where, hey, Space Giraffe, that's kind of a funny name, and it doesn't really try to explain it, but you also realize it's not, I don't know, it's not cool either. And kind of one of my first misses with downloading games on Xbox Live, because honestly, I was like, oh, this game's supposed to be like Rez, I'll try Space Giraffe, but it was almost too, it was too weird, and it didn't have enough of a cool factor to it to keep you coming back. So,
well, let's be honest here. A giraffe is ill-equipped to survive the void of space. You know, I think there's just not much realistic about that idea.
That's where you even tuned if, it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm done.
What if you put an airtight helmet on it?
Only a helmet? What about the rest of his body?
I mean, I think
that's
going to
be
okay,
a huge,
right?
Long helmet, you know?
It just needs his head. It doesn't need his neck.
I think Cole's got you there.
Are you talking the Ted Williams of giraffes?
He only needs the head to survive.
That would be actually...
baseball player, not the homeless voice guy, right?
Oh, that's where I got thrown off.
I don't know what those little nub horns on the top of giraffes' heads do. Maybe they're like, you know, for protection in a vacuum and near absolute zero. You never know.
The other disappointing thing is that whatever you're moving around on screen doesn't even look like a giraffe. There's no, it just, I don't know, it kind of like giraffe stuff will kind of like flash in the background according to the music or whatever, or, you know, it's just.
It is a good name though.
It is, but it's wasted on this game, I think.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
But now I really want to play a game with a disembodied giraffe head floating around in an astronaut's helmet.
What would you call it?
I can't call it Space Giraffe.
or could you?
Giraffe of the Cosmos.
Space Giraffe 2.
Yeah, that's the Space Giraffe.
There you go. It's a reboot.
Yeah. Oh, not a giant bomb. All right, for our first break question here. What's a standout kind of weird moment from an otherwise normal game, Ethan?
Definitely Alfred Ashford from Resident Evil Code Veronica. That whole relationship with his sister and the weird laughter and the cross-dressing. I was not prepared for that at all.
I need more backstory. That's the one Resident Evil.
Yeah, I got nothing on that.
Yeah. So essentially, he and his sister are kind of involved with Umbrella, and they're kind of these rich kids that have been working on all this research, and they're twins, and the sister is incubating, you know, the Code Veronica virus, and her brother, who laughs and talks like this, and he's a man, is like in love with her. And there's this really weird couple moments where they look like they're going to kiss, and I don't know. For Resident Evil, it kind of was pushing it.
And kind of out of nowhere and unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing. It was like, what the fuck?
Did one of them at least die in a satisfying zombie way?
I don't know. I think most people have played it by now, so I guess
spoilers have expired for this one.
Okay, yeah, they both die pretty intensely.
All right, I'm much more satisfied with that game now.
And they were kids.
I feel like I can write a review of it now. Gifford.
I struggle on this a little bit just because my memory for weird shit in games is limited after Katamari Damacy. But not that there's not plenty of other weird shit in Gears of War 2, but the final battle where you're in a helicopter and some Brumac falls into the whatever the hell the gold stuff is. I can't remember.
The Lambent, whatever.
Yeah, and then he turns into some weird sort of like sort of plant mutant giant tower thing. It was just, you've been dealing with this sort of weird organic strange evolution on a different planet the whole game and killing it, but just that final thing, it's sort of incongruous to the rest of the game. You're like, what, that giant monster that is in no way explained other than a Rumac apparently turns into a tower of glowing flesh.
Just as an excuse for you to just unload endless amounts of bullets into to beat the game. Like, I'm with you. Not only was it weird and out of place, but it was kind of a frustrating end to an otherwise great game.
Especially after Gears of War 1, where you have a kind of traditional great boss battle.
Yep. I'm with you. With a character that matters, and then... Yeah, this is just big towering creature out of nowhere, and no good explanation for it either. So maybe they'll explain it in Gears 3. I don't care. Cole, what normal game had a weird moment for you?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call Metal Gear Solid 4 normal, being that it is Japanese, but the Beauty and the Beast core in the game, like you're fighting all these, from Metal Gear Solid, Psycho Mantis. Well, there was a mantis type creature in this one, and then there was a leopard one, and all these like monsters, human monsters, and you thought, oh, these are pretty cool. And then once you defeat their outer shell, they're women inside, and they start stalking you basically after you defeat them, and you have to unload massive amounts of bullets to kill them again. And they're just talking in really high pitched voice and saying, save me, and all this stuff. And it's just really creepy. And it was kind of
out of place,
I thought, for Metal Gear Solid.
It's that's always the side of Metal Gear that I didn't like, when it kind of went out of the military espionage side and got a little bit too, as you said, Japanese. No offense to the Japanese culture, but some of those games, man, they just add a little unnecessary weirdness flavors to it.
Did you ever get to the White Room? Fighting any of them? I guess if you avoid damage from them for a certain period of time, it takes you to, it's like a kind of an Easter egg. It'll take you into after you knock them out of their armor, it takes you into this white room. And
like the Matrix white room?
Yeah, I think so. And they just sort of worship you. There's some semi-sexual element to it.
That is never got creepy. There. And who, sexualizing Solid Snake, too.
Especially Old Snake.
Or Old Snake, or Naked Snake.
Okay, yeah.
Well. Or whatever.
Well, he did have a mustache, though. I mean, it makes sense.
Mustache rides for everybody?
Yep.
Solid Snake, mustache rides.
The game.
Coming to local fairgrounds.
Jesus.
I gotta tip my fictional hat to Cole on this one for helping me out, pulling a classic weird moment out of a classic game. But let's face it, as revolutionary as the ending to Metroid was, still kind of weird that they decided to make Samus chick and reveal it just at the end. And although, like, Samus is now one of my favorite characters, and, you know, I've been up in arms all of last year against Metroid Other M because they tried to ruin the character, why this happened is still a very, very odd moment in Nintendo history. And, I guess it's more unnecessary than weird. It just... I don't know. I get stuck because it's also still very, very cool that she ended up being a chick, but it's still hard to understand where it actually came from.
Well, it's like they wanted guys like us to think that it was a guy so we would play the game, because if it was a girl, we might not have bought the game in the first place. But then on the other hand, you think maybe they could have marketed it to girls as this tough heroine, you know, defeating aliens and ourselves that way, too.
It's just kind of misplaced, and but, you know, it ends up being better because they kept building off of that series and focusing on it more. But, you know, if that game had just kind of stood alone, that just would have been an odd blip to it, I guess.
So, but I think I get the big message is that, you know, girls, come on. Stay out of our video games. You know,
do what you're used to doing. I thought you were going to go a different way and say, girls, come on. Be like Samus. Be a badass.
Yeah.
Do your job.
Would you go kill aliens for us, please?
Get some techno armor. That's all they need, and then I'll like you.
You don't even need techno armor. You need an M41 pulse rifle duct tape to a flamethrower.
That is true. That is true.
The way to give Tor's heart.
Hey, that's why we named our last dog Ripley.
Nice.
Mom was like, she's a big German shepherd. She's got an attitude. I want to... what was her... reasoning, I want a hardcore bitch name for this dog.
Ripley. Oh, you're going. Yeah. I was thinking Ridley.
No, Ripley with a P. Yeah.
All right. No, either name's good. All right. Our second game I'm going to start us off with Earthbound, another Nintendo weirdness factor. Earthbound.
Well, just start at their Japanese name for it, and that's the weirdest you can get.
Mother.
Mother 2.
Well, yeah, I guess the one that came over here was Mother 2. But the Mother series as a whole, kind of strange name, and unfortunately, no Danzig in it either. That would have been a nice touch. but even before you play the American version of the game, the thing that stood out about it was, why is this game in this gigantic box? It's weird and so expansive that they decided, you know what, we have to ship this game with a strategy guide. And so that made for a giant box that no one bought. I never actually ended up owning the game. I probably rented it at least 6 times from Blockbuster just to finish it. But yeah, it just, I took that Japanese RPG formula that Final Fantasy had really established at that time, and I don't know, gave it kind of like a modern story with sci-fi twists, and you know, just the fact that you start out as just, you know, your typical American boy with baseball bat and his dog. That's eating. You go out in the neighborhood and a meteor has landed and weird shit happens from there. But it stays pretty grounded, even though, you know, you're moving from, you know, town to town, but each town gets a little bit weirder. But it just doesn't feel like it's going to be a Japanese RPG until you get into your first battle. And then, you know, it's a great game, but like the sense of humor in it, the characters you meet, the weird cult stuff that's in it, the random band you travel with, the recurring like bully bad guy character that's a pussy that keeps following you around that shows up. He's like, every character's weird, but for that reason, it also really stands out, and it's why people are still clamoring for Nintendo to make another Mother game that actually comes out over here, and but they can't seem to find a way to do it. I don't know how many times that Mother 3 has started and stopped, and I have very fond memories of the game, but trying to explain that game to somebody, it's very difficult.
Obviously I was younger when I played it, but I do remember it just being odd. I mean, I don't have a better description. It was just, it was weird Japanese shit without it being weird Japanese shit. Like, you know, there's no Super Mario 2 or Katamari in it.
Yeah.
But it was just sort of strange.
Was it because it was like the Japanese viewpoint on America and what a game would be like?
That's probably, I mean, that's the core of it, yeah.
I think part of it's like their view on American culture at the time. Right. Is part of it.
Or do you think that it's weird because we were used to the Final Fantasy games?
That was not an issue for me. To date, never played Final Fantasy.
Okay, so it was weird no matter what.
Yeah, I think it was strange.
And yeah, just at first glance, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that type of thing. But then it is an exception. It's an exceptional RPG for what it does, but everything about it is just a little bit odd. I like that description even better than weird for this one.
Do you think the Japanese get games that like are very based on American gamers? And do you think they're like, holy shit, what's wrong with that country? Like, do you think that ever? We get some of their games and we're just like, holy cow, but maybe that's completely normal. Do you think that they get, like, I'm trying to think of the most American game that I could possibly think of. Like, Call of Duty Black Ops, perhaps. Do they play that game and they're just like, what the fuck is going on?
I bet they think we're a very violent culture for it. But look at, like, traditionally how the Xbox has struggled over there and the types of games that were associated with the Xbox. I think, they're... You know, they're really bored by our Fallouts too, our Western RPGs. I think they ignore us. I don't think they think we're weird. I think they think we're violent and boring.
Well, but you see the one place where there is huge crossover, at least I saw it because I'm a, you know, flight sim junkie. is in flight sims. I played against more Japanese players than American players in both Ace Combat 6 and Hawks. It probably has to do with the fact that for a long time, their military was almost exclusively their Air Force, their Air Defense Corps. But that is one place where you do see overlap there. I would have to wonder when we're not being ignored, how their reaction is like to a very American game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unintentional that we're all at the, you know, at some glance you can think that we're kind of anti-Japanese here, but I think we all kind of grew up Nintendo fans and kind of respect that. That's kind of where a lot of the basis for the games we like came from. It's just, there's some common themes that weird us out and that are related to Japanese developed games more so for us. All right, back on track with Cole's second game.
Another game that is developed by Nintendo, WarioWare, in Japanese by nature. WarioWare is like a micro game collection, I guess. That's what they call it.
That's in the title.
Yeah. And you play these micro games for like 3-second clips. And, you know, some of them can be old NES rehashes or Super Nintendo rehashes, but some of them are just odd. Like there's a nose picking micro game, there's a fly swatting micro game, which is, I guess, was in what, Mario Paint way back in the day?
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, that is continued from an old game, but they're just these really small games where you have to have very fast reaction time to win at them. And I've had a lot of fun myself with the WarioWare series, especially the one on the Wii, with the motion controls. I thought was pretty interesting, but after a while it gets old because you keep playing the same things over and over again. And it's just, I don't know. It's weird to me that they can release a game with all these different small bits of other games and be, you know, you'd have a good seller, be successful with it.
Yeah, I mean, it took off a lot more than I expected. I was an immediate fan when it came out on the Game Boy at first, and I still remember showing that to Ethan's brother, Nathan, when he was a little bit drunk. And those were like defining moments of why I like to share games like that, is just his reaction, not knowing what the hell I was handing him, and then realizing he was immediately behind because you only have 3 seconds to react. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's a big man to have drunk and confused.
Yes. But it's funny what they could get away with style-wise in those 3-minute clips. I mean, 3-second clips, because it kind of didn't matter what. You just have to accomplish a task and, yeah, pick at your nose. And then they just got weirder and weirder, especially seeing that. playing the Wii version in like a party setting and people having fun but being very kind of put off at the same time, that was my favorite reaction for the early games for the Wii. Gifford, your second game.
My second game is not again, this is another one where it's not entirely weird. I think it's based off of a card game. French card game, which makes it weird for me, called Carcassonne. And it's another XBLA title where you draw tiles and then you're flipping them over and you're trying to get points by like sort of placing placeholders, your little followers, on farmland or in your castles. Which you, again, create by hemming in the castle with different cards. And it does not have the weird Japanese shit element to it at all. But it's also just, I think the reason it struck me as a what-the-fuck game is it is plainly something that was not a digital game that mm-hmm. was transferred. And the end result is enjoyable. I've played it a lot, and there's 3 or 4 different expansion packs for it. But it's also somewhat... I think that it's strange in that while you're playing, you could just as easily be playing on a tabletop. So it would be part of that, like, who decided that this should be made digital? And also that I'm not sure it gains anything by being digital. That said, it's still an enjoyable game, but it's just this, even the graphics involved they're not impressive. Like, they're like, the graphics aren't important. And I think we've all had the discussion that graphics aren't necessarily important, but when you've essentially copied a game directly from its source, it's like, are you guys going to improve this at all, or are you going for the base? And they kind of went for the base.
That's true. I remember the first time I played it, I didn't realize it was based on a board game, and it was kind of one of those moments when I found that out that it made much more sense, because it was just... It seemed overly difficult to play for a relatively simple concept, like when you boil it down, but it takes a while. It doesn't ever walk you through that. It almost assumes that you have played the board game version, and I was getting my ass kicked by my friends because I didn't realize they had all played the board game. Apparently we missed out on that, the Carcassonne rush of board games. Maybe I was too busy playing Trivial Pursuit or Sorry or Trouble. I don't know why that popped in my head. And the one thing that the digital form has added is the online multiplayer. Like, I have played a lot of online multiplayer, mainly on my iPhone, the iPhone version of the game, and that has made it a really enjoyable game, because it's one of those, you can just notify the person that it's their turn, and you kind of play it throughout the day. I cannot imagine sitting down to play this game, it's very odd. It's like, it has a very retro feel to it, but I think you're right. It's just because it should only be a board game, but here, if you want to play it digitally, it's possible. But still, one of the iPhone apps that I've actually spent the most time with.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. I'm not slagging it at all. The multiplayer aspect, I guess, is probably the big benefit for it being digital.
How do you think they could have made it better on the digital version of it?
I think it's all interface to me. It's
all, dragons! Dragons would have been a bonus as well.
Yes! Everything is better with dragons. Well,
yeah, but yeah, the interface is a little weak. There's no good tutorial. And like I said, if you're going to make it digital, I think doing some simple graphic stuff. I mean, even like the river is just a blue, like, meandering line.
Yeah.
Like, come on, guys. Like, you couldn't make it look like actual water.
Yeah. When you were first talking about it, I was thinking about the Risk on, you know, XBLA and how awesome that game is. Like, I've been so afraid to touch it as a board game, but once I got it as the digital version, Risk Factions, I thought it was amazing and so easy to get into, even though I still get my ass kicked. But
yeah, I'd like to see a faction style of Carcassonne, because, you know, at first it was kind of insulting to see Risk Factions come out with these ridiculous, you know, caricature of characters that it had, and kind of the simplified style. But it taught you the game, and underneath it all, you could play the full version of Risk in there if you wanted to. And I think Carcassonne could really use some of that. And that's also a feature on the iPhone version, is it has solo play, where you just it tries to make it more of like a puzzle solving game, but it teaches you the basics that way. And I think I felt just kind of overwhelmed by how unplayable the game was, and that it just kind of threw you into the middle of it. I think this game came out years before Risk Factions. I think if they redid it, they could take a lot of lessons from that. And also, Risk Factions is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Ethan, your second game.
I think I'm about to blow the lid off this weird games conversation with this one scenario. Swimming in the middle of an ocean and coming face to face with a fish with a man face. That is Seaman on the Dreamcast, which itself is kind of a weird
that is the weird console.
And this game epitomized weird stuff because one, it came along. It was a little bit late for the virtual pet phase, you know? It kind of just missed that by 2 or 3 years.
Just missed it.
Huh?
Just missed it.
Just missed it, barely. And it was a fish with a man face. What the hell? What the hell is that? That is scary as hell. That's what that is. And, you know, there wasn't really a whole lot of gameplay to the game, so it wasn't really a game. And, you know, again, I remember playing this game and sticking to it because I was like, I am just intoxicated by how strange and creeped out I am. And, you know, the sea man grows, you know, it doesn't just stay a sea pod, it becomes a sea tadpole and then eventually a sea frog. Not to spoil it for anybody who hasn't played it.
Damn it! As I think it's actually coming out to... There might be a Kinect or a Move version coming out. I think.
Are you serious?
I think there's a rumor of it, yeah.
Oh, there should be, because it's going to be so much creepier in HD. I mean, can you imagine that? Or maybe you forget, like, one night you're playing it and you leave it on and you wake up and, like, the first thing you see in the morning is, like, a fish with a man face. Ah, I would shit. I would definitely shit in that scenario.
I think it should use the camera, capture your face, and put it on the damn thing.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I love how careful you are at saying the name of the game.
Seaman? I am. I am. No pokes or fun made at my expense on that one. It's Seaman.
Yes, it
it's
is.
Man in the sea.
It's a man fish in the sea.
Do you ever evolve to become an actual man?
You stop at the frog stage. That's as far as I got before I realized that I was like 15 years old. I didn't have a girlfriend. I wasn't very good at sports, and I was playing a virtual pet on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I don't understand those virtual pet games. Even, you know, Kinectables at least. I think Kinectables is okay because it's so targeted at kids that it kind of makes more sense. But I don't know who the fuck the audience was for Seaman.
It definitely was not kids, unless those kids, you know, you were a psychologist trying to, like, you know, pad your resume early on. I mean, I can't imagine a child reacting to that and being like, oh, that was a good experience I had. Hell no. Those kids would be writing about that shit in their diaries for ages.
Are you still haunted by Seaman?
Yes, I am. And again, I was older at the time. I should have been able to process that, but I haven't been able to. I can't deal with fish people. And if there was ever a time where, you know, fish people rose from the depths of the ocean to try to form some sort of, you know, perfect society with us, I'd shun them. I would shun them outright, and I would have no reason to except for this game.
So you still can't get any Seaman out of your head?
How long were you working on that one?
For a minute.
That was good. I like that.
Oh. I was gonna ask if you ever look in the mirror and say Seaman three times and see if he ever comes back.
Oh, dude, that's not even fun. Like, that is not even funny.
That's why I said it, because I knew
I'm going to try it. I mean, it's going to be bad. You guys won't hear from me, and you'll just, you know.
We'll drop down to our knees.
You won't hear from me, because the Seaman just makes you disappear. He doesn't want anyone to find you, so.
We'll drop down to our knees.
That's how he gets his face. That's where his face comes from. It's from his last victim.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
It's like an episode of Fringe in here.
All right, we'll take this home with our final break question here. We're just going to kind of relive our games of shame discussion and kind of highlight the weird games from there. We want to give them some love, but we've also discussed them before. So, Ethan.
You know, World of Zoo is pretty weird just because of how fascinated I was with it, but just kind of how, like, the point of the game involves cleaning up poop.
Well done.
That's pretty weird.
Cool.
I just have two puzzle-like games, Zuma and Peggle. Peggle is like the Plinko, I think it's called on Price is Right, mm-hmm. sort of. And then Zuma, you're spitting out balls from a frog's mouth. Try to make other balls disappear.
I mean, Peggle's weird just...
Just because of the different animals and the...
Different animals and when you finish a level, the fucking rainbow and the music that plays and... Zuma, I don't know if Zuma's weird. Zuma is just a puzzle game with, like, some Aztec influence or whatever.
But a ball comes out of a statue frog's mouth.
That is strange. That is peculiar.
I think it's completely normal. It's where balls come from. Frog's mouths.
It's not where my balls come from.
I already kind of mentioned Nobi Nobi Boy, but if you haven't ever taken the time to stretch out Nobi Nobi Boy and help Nobi Nobi Girl get to Jupiter, you've been missing out on the PlayStation Network. And then the original weirdest title, and sadly the weirdest title that I've ever sold back, is Cube of War on the GameCube. Evolution game with box creatures that listen to only three notes of guitar at a time. I still can't find that game anywhere.
So do you think that game was called Cube of War because it came out on the GameCube, or it was developed that way because it came out on the GameCube?
No, because it wasn't a Nintendo published game. It was called something else, and they renamed it Cube of War.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was because it's Cube of War: Survival of the Fittest, or something like that. That's one of those games I recommend people just go check out a video of that thing and remember that I probably spent 20 plus hours with it. Okay, get those back, people.
That's 20 hours of your life that you're never getting back.
Yeah. It's going to do it for our weird games discussion, at least for now. We'll probably revisit this topic from time to time because, I don't know, indie games are popping up everywhere and lots of weird experiments on a lot of the mobile devices and that kind of thing. And
we haven't mentioned Atlas at all.
We could have an entire podcast dedicated to analyzing anything that's come out of the Disgaea series. Oh, man, what was the name of that game that just came out?
Catherine?
No, that's coming out soon.
Any of the Persona games?
Yeah. We'll save that for another time. but before we get out of here, some horrible night.com updates. another accidental creation of a new editorial series that Ethan and I kind of concocted when we saw the wonderfully put together and brilliant Duke Nukem Forever trailer that we thought it'd be funny to kind of take a overly critical look at it and take it way too seriously because obviously it's one of the most immature and glorious trailers to come out in a long time. And
they pixelated the boobs, damn it.
Yeah, they did it poorly. That was the entire motivation for that article is I've seen better pixelated boobs. But Ethan, did you have anything... Anything you wanted to add about, like, as you're writing that article?
That was a difficult article to write, and what I'm really waiting for is the people to get really upset about my breakdown of that trailer. Breaking trailers down is very difficult, people, so get off my ass.
We debated heavily whether or not to put a disclaimer on it, and I think if you make it through his paragraph where he analyzed the ratings box and the size of it and how it was designed and we're still taking him seriously. I don't really know what you're doing on the site to begin with. That kind of brings me to my next addition to the site. More recent weeks, we've kind of been sharing the workload on our news articles. News articles aren't really our favorite thing to write, but we are interested in the gaming industry and trying to find ways to get you the headlines that at least grab our attention. I think daily we have at least one or two news articles pop on the site, but we've started to kind of share the workload, and I've noticed you can almost pick out the author just based on reading the news article type. More of a shout out to Ethan recently that his news articles have been very colorful lately. But we're kind of interested in your take on how we're reporting the news, if we may get a little bit more editorialized on it going forward, but we'll still try to get the headlines to you but keep our color contained within as well. So last thing before we head out, game industry shout outs. Just anything you guys have noticed going on in the industry that you would like to yell about before we take off. Let's move things around and start with Cole.
Saw an article on Joystick today about MLB The Show 11 doing a pretty cool thing. They have in the new game that they're releasing in March, they're adding a one-button gameplay mode for disabled virtual athletes to play. So for people who can't use the full controller because of they have cerebral palsy or something like that, they added a one button mode so those people could play. And I think that's pretty cool to include people with disabilities who might be interested in games but realize that they can't play most of them because of their difficulty. So good on you, San Diego studio, Sony San Diego.
I thought you were doing an Anchorman thing there for a second.
No.
Good on you, San Diego. No, that's just an interesting side of games that developers haven't really tackled. I think the Kinect actually came under fire for that, like as far as not being able to support, playing while sitting down and having to require full movement to really play that system, and it's easy to overlook disabled people when it comes to games, and nice to see somebody's thinking about it, and it may take some of the more major studios to do that, but very, very cool. Gifford?
My shout-out is for I think we'll try and get the link to this, but I read today that some scientists put a satellite in low Earth orbit powered by the Android operating system, mainly to see if they could put a satellite up essentially powered by a smartphone. But I would just like to point out my own little vendetta against Steve Jobs and his ilk that they chose the Android operating system, not the iPhone.
And or Windows.
Or Windows, yeah, because it would be pretty embarrassing to get it up to 11,000 miles and then get a BSOD. Which is different than when you forget to calculate the distance from Earth to Mars in feet instead of meters.
Meters, and, yeah.
Impact your lander into it at 30,000 miles an hour.
Damn metric system.
Good yeah. Job.
I, for one, say fuck the metric system.
Yes, but you're not a rocket scientist. They're supposed to know these things.
It's true.
I am. Today, the metric system has been abolished thanks to some guy.
Did you hear this podcast that just came out? The fucking metric system is gone. Oh, Ethan.
Well, my wife comes running into my den man cave and goes, "Oh my gosh, you're gonna love this news story. Some guy about got in a wreck and he used video game skills to save himself." And you may ask why my wife has such a robust voice, and I'm not quite sure. I'm not got that impression down yet. But yeah, she actually gave cred to there's a video on the web right now of some guy avoiding a nasty collision, and he attributes this to his video game skills. So all of us out there that spend 20 hours a day playing a game about cubes may be able to use that in the future somehow.
If you need to build a pyramid.
Yes.
I don't think cubes relate to driving scenarios.
Yeah, I was just trying to help you out.
Yeah. And by the way, I get a World of Warcraft reference next podcast because you brought up Minecraft.
Oh, no, I didn't. Did I?
Gifford brought up Minecraft, not Ethan. He was bringing up Cubivore.
Oh, now I'm minus.
It was.
One. Damn it.
No, it's my fault.
The funny thing is, most of those driving games, they actually make me want to cause more wrecks, but maybe that's because I I'm mainly playing the Burnout series where you know, when they added the ability to basically torpedo cars into other cars. Like, if I play those games for hours on end and then go try to drive, my skills are much worse because I just want to go 200 miles an hour. And, you know, I think I'm capable of doing a lot more things. But I don't know. Like, it's got to help in those.
Take down and do an overpass.
It's got to. I don't know. Is it? Do you think it's legitimate at all in that, I don't know, maybe his muscle memory or just quick reflexes kicked in before he had a chance to think about it? Cause,
well, I mean, they've done tests. I mean, gamers have. Well, okay, they've done tests. I'm using parenthetical fingers because those tests are always, you know, who knows who does them. But they've said that we've got better hand-eye coordination. And, I mean, when you're used to, like, everything around you exploding and avoiding that kind of stuff, when it happens in real life, maybe he just kicked into video game mode. It was like, oh, shit. Yeah. I got to get to level 2, you know.
So just, bullet time.
Yeah. No, I'll just go on the median. No problem. One thing that came out last week that I got really excited about, and we actually featured on the site a while back, was, you guys remember that badass Mortal Kombat trailer, like the super gritty, I called it like Dark Knight style reimagining of the series. Well, a lot of rumors were going around at the time that that was with the new direction for the game, but it didn't. It ended up being unrelated. It was actually just a pitch video for a potential movie that didn't get picked up. But the director did get some funding to start filming this as a web series. So filming actually starts next month, and they're going to put 10 episodes out on the web. And I was pretty blown away by the original trailer and was actually disappointed that the game wasn't influenced at all by it, but they're going to somehow turn it. They're going to turn it into, you know, marketing for the game coming out. I think in April, and hopefully, this web series at least turns out as good as the trailer. That'd be pretty damn cool. So yeah, Mortal Kombat, as calm as possible. All right,
Mortal Kombat.
Thank you. That's
our
toasty.
I think our version is a lot better. Like mellow combat?
Or no combat at all.
No combat at all. Eventually combat.
Yeah, I did play that game a lot in college against a lot of guys who were just stupidly good at it, but only when they were stupidly stoned. So maybe something to be said about that.
And they don't
we
remember
should do
it at
tests.
All.
Research.
I think I just want to see what Ethan's fatality would be.
Super hug.
Super hug. Hugtality. All right. Before the slap happiness continues, we will get out of here and spare you our awkwardness. Toasty. All right. We're taking off. We will see everybody for the horrible show next week. Thanks for listening, and thanks for joining me, fellas.
See ya.
Bye.
Good night.
Good day. Thank you.